shining like a national guitar. I am following the
rhythm. Hey everybody, welcome to an exclusive edition of Hey Kids Comics. We do this every year, and it kind of got away from Cole and I, and we're going to bring a special guest this week. But every year, right around this time, you know, when the leaves are in full bloom and flowers are out, and it's everybody's going to the pool and vacation road trips, and Lindsey Buckingham's Holiday Road is on the radio at number one on the charts again, we gather together to sit on our porch and bitch endlessly and ceaselessly yell. And yell.
Just yell into the void.
About San Diego Comic-Con and the exclusives that we can't get because we're not there. So welcome once again to San Diego Comic-Con. What do we call? And by the way, guys, that's Cole. Cole's with me, as always.
Hey there.
And
yes,
we are joined by the lady Catherine Houston tonight.
Hi everybody.
And Catherine is toimed, which is my coined term. Toimed. She's toimed something for us tonight. And what is that, Catherine?
Bitching point.
That's right.
From
now on, these issues of Hey Kids Comics will be known as bitching points. So that's very good.
If there's something we're taking issue with, we're going to bring you all of our bitching points.
And you have no say. That's the thing. This isn't crossfire. You don't get to say anything back to us. So suck it. Suck it.
Now, do we have to stick with convention exclusives, or can we do other convention stuff?
If you want to branch out, you're not there. That's the whole thing, is we're not there.
Yeah.
So first of all, I want to say this to start, right? I want to congratulate you if you're within the sound of our voice, because you have survived something this year that you have not, and this goes for anyone that's listening, that you have not yet had to survive.
Whether you were there or not.
Right. You have now survived what I'm calling Trailer Storm 2016. So what Trailer Storm is in the past, Hall H would get together and they'd have these big movie reveals, and somebody would record shitty footage on their cell phone and release it on the internet of whatever trailer for whatever movie they were releasing. Well, to get out ahead of that, all the movie studios got together and decided that they were going to release all their trailers on YouTube. 10 trailers!
Which works better, though, because you don't have to watch it with the back of somebody's head.
It's true.
No, that's true.
But 10 trailers in one night. That's all I'm saying.
I had to get a couple of old G.I. Joes with the fuzzy heads and put them in front of the computer.
Just to make it feel natural to you? Make it feel real?
And I had, like, kind of carrying on conversations and stuff in front.
But just,
otherwise, it didn't feel right.
I have to admire them for releasing it that way, though, because whenever I got to see something like that for the first time with a crowd of people I didn't know in front of me, it just made me feel stabby.
Oh, too soon?
Too soon? Did somebody take a pin to the eye this time, or what? No, you're absolutely right. It's just, it hit about, like, something like 6 o'clock last night, my phone started lighting up with trailers, and it didn't stop until, like, midnight. It was like, trailers for everything! I'm like, sensory overload. I can't release them over time. Don't release them all at once. You're killing me. Release them in advance of San Diego. I don't care, but good God. But you all survived, so consider yourself the survivors of this new utopia that we find ourselves in.
That's right. We made it.
We made it. So that being said, now that we've formed a new utopia in the wake of Trailer Storm, let's talk about what exclusives we're not getting and why we're mad about them. Let's start there. Catherine, absolutely. Do you have any exclusives that you know of?
I don't have a specific exclusive, so let's I pass to Cole on the exclusives.
Okay.
I'm gonna do something very special here. I'm going to make a bitching point for someone else.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Now, whether he had the money laying around for this or not, were it available to him, I still feel like I need to come out here and bitch on his behalf. This is for my co-host from the Rancor Pit, Eddie Medina, who is a huge Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan from the inception of the Turtles. And there was a NECA or Nika or Dominika Nika Nik have put out this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles set that was, I believe, a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, that was the four turtles plus three ninjas in various foot ninjas in various colors.
Right.
And Shredder.
Right.
And so, you know, you're talking eight figures, probably costing well over three figures. But it was just this huge set that I think may have even, because now what NECA does beautifully is, yes, these are based on the video game.
Which it looks real. It looks like the video game.
Well, what's fun with what Nick, I read an article recently. One of the things they do is find all the loopholes in licensing agreements.
Nice.
And the big loophole is nobody thought to fold in video games into the action figure licenses. So that is like, sold. So that's why you're seeing a lot of that sort of thing. So, you know, on Eddie's behalf, little bitch point that this was, these sets were made available, but not available.
Right. Look at what you're not getting, you assholes. You that can't rise above the caste system and make it to San Diego for this thing. Like, God, it angers me to no end. Now, I want to have a bitch session. I want to have a bitching point for Cole. Okay. Because Cole started altruistically by bitching for Eddie. So I feel like I should be bitching for Cole and myself. So both of us. If you've listened to the show over the last couple of years, you know that we talk pretty regularly. We have our own, like toy wish list shows where we talk about the toys that we want, and we talk about, you know, our ultimate wish list for, like, the 3¾-inch Marvels, which we are we're tits over tea kettles for, buy them all the time. One of the ones we've talked about forever and haven't been able to get has been Lockjaw. Like, we've wanted to make a full-on Inhumans, original Inhuman set, and we're almost there, and the only one we're really missing at this point is Lockjaw. Well,
we're missing Lockjaw and Crystal.
And Crystal, yes, Crystal at this point. But we can now get Lockjaw on the aftermarket for what I'm sure is going to be somewhere in the vicinity of $100 for a 5-ounce piece of plastic.
A few days ago, the best price I'm finding...
Oh, you looked. Okay.
Yes, is about $130 for the set. And we had talked about on the last episode that we recorded, where we kind of took an aside there, and I mentioned being a little pissed off about the fact that Lockjaw was, or that this was part of the Collector's Vault set.
Right.
Which is the Collector, as he appears in the comics... Lockjaw, Moon Boy.
Friggin' Moon Boy.
Yeah, Moon Boy. Moon Boy. That's the most you'll ever hear say Moon Boy on this show.
Moon Boy.
Howard the Duck and Cosmo, plus three artifacts from the Marvel Universe. The Wand of Watoom, the Zodiac Key, and the Cask of...
Whatever it is.
Winter is Coming.
Yeah, right. The Rice Krispie treats.
So Catherine, you know, bless her heart, is going to have to hear me bitch about that for a while.
Right, and yeah, and the Howard the Duck is fantastic. The Moon Boy, like you were saying in the last issue of Hey Kids Comics, is flocked.
Yeah, it looked uninspiring in the initial pictures, but then when I saw the actual product, it was like, damn it! He has flocked fur.
Right.
That's why he looked uninspiring in the Paint Master.
Jerks. Just jerks. And there are so many. Last year, we talked about exclusives, and we were just not impressed. There were not a lot out there that we wanted to get our hands on. We were like, well, good riddance to bad rubbish this year for San Diego. This year, they outdid themselves. You know, the short list being the Marvel Legends 6-inch line, the Raft series, which has a fantastic Dreadnought in it, and a Purple Man, and a Purple Man, for shit's sake, that we're not going to be able to get our hands on. And it's 200 It's 200 there, let alone what it's going to be in the aftermarket. That's out there for your... drooling pleasure.
It is essentially the Build-A-Figure Abomination in a different paint scheme.
Right.
So you'll be able to get that Abomination piecemeal in a lighter color of green, because it's not easy to be that way. You have Enchantress from Thor of Thor fame. You have Dreadnought. You have Spider-Man, because Spider-Man is the Darth Vader or Luke Skywalker of Marvel. There are like 6,000 versions, and you're stuck with it.
Right.
The Purple Man, as you say, the Purple Man, for God's sake.
For God's sakes.
And Sandman.
With the sand paint job. So kiss my ass. Like, that's what I have to say. Sorry. I'm so angry. So angry.
And it all comes in a presentation box that looks like they're all in individual cells that Spider-Man is like... I guess they're escaping from their cells, and Spider-Man's like, oh, I shouldn't have pushed that button.
Right, right. And in the go ahead, Cole.
The flap of that shows other characters like Electro and some others looking on, doing nothing.
Just hanging
like
out.
Electro with the Eel and some other characters that you can buy in stores now.
Right.
You don't have to go to San Diego to get. So, you know, here's these characters that everyone can buy juxtaposed against characters that nobody can have.
And
now, I did overhear, Catherine and I went to the Lost Toys, their Don't Swap, Believe in Swap Meet. They're
such a good name. Such a good name. So they deserve
a
prize.
We love those guys. And I overheard a conversation that apparently, at least in the case of one of the exclusives, I think it may have been Hasbro, they were limiting people to two.
Really?
So I applaud them for that. It may have been Mattel, it may have been Hasbro, but it was limit two. You buy two, and they were marking your batch.
Wow, that's
now,
nice.
Now, granted, it's so much, you know, you get all your homies
to
come
and do that. That's considerate.
It's more considerate than they've been in the past, that's for sure.
Oh, that is the God's honest truth.
Now, I did notice when I was looking up some other stuff that Mattel is actually going one a little bit further and having several characters, including that incredibly pricey Wonder Woman, be online only, and you can't get it live in person. Is that correct?
They do. Mattel does some really cool stuff. Mattel really doesn't have. They have a few straight up San Diego exclusives that you can only get in house at San Diego. But but over the years they've done a great job of releasing a lot of their stuff online as well as in person, and they have now exclusives to their website that you don't have to go and get. So yeah, I mean, Mattel's trying their best, but then again, you know, it's a business decision. It's a smart business decision. When you're Mattel,
right,
you have the ability to press a whole ton of these. So why not? You know, why not make a short batch run of stuff that you only sell on your website during San Diego Comic-Con or in the short days after? So
yeah,
that,
right. But that's a good point about Mattel, because they have been one of the best companies about bringing their San Diego Comic-Con exclusives to the general public. And that's something that a lot of the companies – either aren't doing or have not done in the past. And, you know, it has been the death of many a collector's ability to remain in the hobby.
Right. It absolutely has. I mean,
I can see how it would just take the wind out of your sails, as if there was just this, there's this one thing that you collect, but there's just one character you will never have because they made five of them, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I can see why that would kind of take the joy out of trying to collect something that you really like.
And we use the term white whale a lot when we talk about stuff like this. But the thing about Ahab and the whale was, at least the whale came the hell back around every once in a while. These things, once they're gone, you're never going to pry them out of the, you know, if it's a real collector, you're never going to pry them out of their hands. And if it's and if it's a buyer, they're going to sell them to collectors at a market price for people and they're never going to get rid of them. It's very hard to get these things in the aftermarket. At least, like Cole always says, wait it out. But it's hard to wait it out. You know,
well, it's kind of like a New York apartment. You got to watch the obituaries.
Wow,
that's brilliant. That is brilliant. I love it. And one for all of us, I think. Maybe not Catherine yet, but give us a week and we can turn that around. There is a Skybound. Now, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't know I want until I knew I wanted it, and now I can't have it, so screw you, that type of thing. But there's a couple of Star Wars 6-inch figures that at convention are like $90, which is nuts. There's a horse face Adam Driver with his horse face exposed, 6-inch Kylo Ren figure.
Piss me off. The Black Series, you know, they're going to give you, it's not just that they give you the reveal figure.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you're going to get the reveal figure by itself, but the reveal figure, I think one of the things that like Mattel used to do with their DC line,
mm-hmm.
is they would put out a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, like say Swamp Thing,
right.
or the Wonder Twins. And then they would offer it on their website. But hey, presto, if you want Swamp Thing, you can buy it on their website after the fact, but it doesn't come with the Un-Men.
Right.
Or you can buy the Wonder Twins, but you don't get Gleek.
Right, right.
And it's like, rip off. But and that way it was sort of a way to say, okay, there is that exclusivity for the ultra, you know, the Uber collector, but at the same time, you know, it's making it accessible, but not 100% accessible.
Right, right. It's you can still have the figure, so you can still have it in your collection. If you're a huge Swamp Thing collector, or you're just a huge DC Legends, I think was what I forget what they DC Universe.
Yeah, DC Legends.
Whatever that Mattel store not open on Monday, you sons of bitches, line was. but at least you still could get that figure. And then you're right, you had that extra super ultra LE rare piece to it if you did go and buy it there as sort of bragging rights as a trophy, which I think is kind of cool. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I mean, at least they made some effort, but still, you know, there has to be a segment of the collecting population that would always be bugged by that. I was very fortunate to get the set with the Un-Men because that just made it cooler. I don't know that I would have bought it without that.
Right. And there's also the same line as the Horseface Adam Driver figure. There is a, and I want this badly, a beautiful, beautifully sculpted Obi-Wan Sir Alec Guinness.
Yes, it's a 6-inch version of something they did in the 3 3/4-inch, where it's got his little coffee table.
Yeah, and it's got the hologram on it.
And what's cool with that is the hologram in that scale, it allows them to have the lay a hologram with her arms extended and her palms out.
But it's
in,
so
in a much more pleading mode than they could do in the tiny scale.
But it's gorgeous. But the one I'm talking about more than either of those is Skybound, who makes brilliant statuary, is releasing a exclusive Lion Cat from Saga that is
damn it
gorgeous.
I didn't know about that.
That's what I mean. I didn't either.
Don't tell Catherine.
Does Catherine like Lion Cat? There, I linked it. You can see it. Oh my god.
That's evil. That's just evil.
Yeah, right? It's perfect, and I want it so bad. And that one really gets me. The rest of them, there's a lot of Batman stuff out there, like a Kobataka Pakatototo made a Bruce Wayne figure. Not a Batman figure, but a Bruce Wayne figure that's pretty damn gorgeous.
Those bastards.
Yeah, like full tux Bruce Wayne figure that's pretty gorgeous. That I kind of want a piece of. There are a lot of really really cool things out there this year that I'm really mad that we're not going to get our hands on.
Why am not? I'm not getting a Lion Cat.
Well, you might, but it's going to cost you. That's the thing, is that you're also not getting the Orion Slave Girl Barbie.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
But it's amazing. It's like, damn you people. Just damn you. Damn you. Damn you.
Damn you, salt to hell.
Just damn you. Yeah, that's the. But the.
I don't want green slutty Barbie. I want Lion Cat.
I'm sorry.
The thing is, I'm admonishing DC Direct. Give us a damn Lion Cat figure.
Right.
You've got some great sculptors there. But there's also on the Black Series Star Wars thing, yet again this time, they've got the Jen Erso from Star Wars, from the Rogue One Black Series figure that was available at San Diego Comic Con. It came with a, you know, like a pack of these cards with different images of the character.
Yeah.
Of the figure and done in different action scenes and stuff. So it's like more things to piss you off as a collector.
Cole, I'm going to post one to the... I'm not going to say what it is.
The Gentle Giant Phasma looks incredible.
God, so much. So much. How can anybody go and get what they want? Because there's so much. You have to...
You would have to have, like, thousands of dollars at your disposal.
All right, so Cole, I'm going to post something to the call, and I just want to hear your reaction when you see it. Okay. There.
Like another interesting collectible from Mattel rather was a really unique Star Trek item from their Hot Wheels line.
Oh, I love this! I love this.
That was apparently in the '60s. Leonard Nimoy was, feeling the success of Star Trek.
Right.
And having a nice recurring role and everything. And he went out and treated himself to some kind of big Oldsmobile Buick.
It was like a 60s, yeah, black, beautiful.
Yeah, just one of the sharp things of its day. And this wonderful car. And then there were some iconic photos of him posing with his new gift to himself. And Mattel has done a Hot Wheels car of that particular make and model, that year model car, with Leonard Nimoy in the Spock costume, leaning up, basically recreating that image in miniature.
Right.
Oh, neat.
And that was another damned San Diego Comic-Con exclusive that you can't have.
Right.
And yes, indeed. Luckily, this is not a Comic-Con exclusive.
No, it is, Cole. It is.
Oh, that one is. Oh, the unpainted one is.
The Newt figure is an exclusive.
Oh, man.
The Aliens Newt figure is
an
exclusive.
That's really good.
The fact that she has the doll head.
Yes.
Yeah.
And comes with Hicks's helmet.
Oh, I hate you people.
The photograph.
I know. Oh, I hate them so much.
Oh, her award, her little acrylic award, and then the tube of penguin.
Yeah,
goo. I got a whole lagoon of this crud out back.
But there's also a two pack of an exclusive two pack of Alana and Marco Saga, like 6-inch figures sculpts,
yeah,
as well,
that
are gorgeous, like, as well.
God damn it.
I hate them. I hate them so much. All right. Yeah. Okay. So Catherine, you had some things that weren't exclusive related that you wanted to make some bitching points about, right?
Yeah. Well, one of them is when I am watching the footage of where somebody got to go to something cool, like seeing a premiere where all the stars were there and just everything was just bending the needle on, oh my God, a place and a time.
Right.
I see empty chairs. nothing crawls under my skin and lays its eggs like seeing empty chairs for something that I know people stood in line for 5 hours for.
Right.
That's because everyone is parked in Hall H.
Yep. So
for 27 hours.
So you get these cool events happening outside of there, and people are waiting in line to go see, I don't even know at this point, yeah, whatever it might be.
So,
yeah.
So this is what they need to do. They won't do it, but this is what they need to do. Is you're talking about marking your badge?
Right.
When you get to this gig, there's one thing that you have to do, and there's one thing that you may not do. The first thing that you have to do is go ahead and literally get in virtual line, and you can do this with your smartphone because everybody there has one. You literally get in line on your phone. You can wait at the doctor's office this way for okay? And if you score, you've got on your phone your pass, actually.
Yeah.
Then you go and you show up and you get your ass in that seat and you don't save it anything else for anybody. You can't. So and you're done. And that way you are literally virtually waiting in line while you go enjoy the rest of the show, while you go shop for shit, while you do other things other than just be in the way in the hall.
That's brilliant. That's actually a really good idea. I like that.
It happened yesterday.
Yeah. unfortunately,
if I can sign up to my you know my doctor's office and wait in my living room and watch Netflix, and they can do it at the freaking con.
If I can check into Great Clips from my house and then go get a haircut, you can do it from the convention, right? Right.
Yeah. That's,
I appreciate that. The idea is exactly what we need.
Right.
Absolutely what we need. But the problem with the convention, especially the modern convention, is there are only so many hours in a day.
Right.
There are only so many things you can have happen within the course of an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, depending on, even with all the space you utilize. And the problem that you run into is that you have to put something in these rooms. It's horrendously expensive. So it only makes sense to put something in these rooms every single hour, round the clock. And it becomes a very difficult thing for a convention organizer to this is not to say it's impossible, because they do this at Star Wars Celebrations. To clear halls. They like everybody in, everybody out at the end.
That's right.
Well, what that does is throw off your timing. You have to literally break your timing down into, you know, have half hour increments where the clearing and the refilling can happen, or an hour increment even, depending on the size of the space. And so then, you know, are you getting 100% value for your rental of said space? And, you know, it's a really difficult rock in a hard place, because then you also have the inevitable complaints from everybody, because we love to complain in this day and age. But
you're gonna have complaints no matter what. I don't care about complaints. As far as turning a room over, you can do that in 10 or 15 minutes. If you've got your entrance on one side and your exit on the other side, it's like just squeezing the toothpaste out of the tube. You just go.
Unfortunately, once you've set a precedent, which they have for many, many years, then it's hard to change.
Well, also we're ignoring a very important aspect of this, which is the optics of what is happening, which is what makes good media, what makes good press. And good press and good media for these things are 400 raving fans waiting in line for hours to go see the panel on the Justice League movie. Or, you know, that makes good press. And if you've got people that can check in, now keep in mind I'm speaking from the, you know, from the proletariat to the bourgeoisie at this point.
Yeah.
For us, it makes more sense. It would be great if we could do, you know, in the utopia that Catherine wants to live in. That would be amazing. I would love it. That, I think, opens up so many avenues and so many doors for people to enjoy more of what they're doing. But from the, you know, from the marketing standpoint, from the business standpoint, they want those people out there so that they can take those pictures and put that out there. People can see it. People can see, oh, look at all these people waiting in line for this thing, because they can do the same thing at, you know, movie releases, but we still have people waiting in line to get in. That I think there's a lot of that that's marketing too. I think that's a lot of it's built in.
Well, even if you've got people waiting on their phone, they're going to have to show up 5 or 10 minutes before it's time to go in.
Well, I mean, that's
true.
So
you'll get your line. You will get your line.
You will get your
people shoulder to shoulder crowding and rushing to go in. In fact, if there's an imperative that you've got to be there at a certain place at a certain time and you got to keep moving, you're going to have an active moving crowd and not just a stagnant leaning up against the walls checking their email crowd.
I mean, it's a valid point.
You bring a valid point to the table. However, it's entrenched now.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing, is that it's going to be very hard to change.
The Comic-Con has never been about, or has not in a great many years, been about the fans or the attendees. It is a self-serving entity for the entertainment industry.
Right.
Be it publishing, be it film, be it television, and even like collectibles and toys. It has digressed. And I often said this, I probably said it on the show every year, that, you know, we had friends who went 1 year or 2 years in a row to Comic-Con, and people are always asking me, why don't you go to Comic-Con? How come you never go to Comic-Con? And, you know, the lines, the situation that Catherine describes, the lines for everything, the exclusives you might stand in line for 3 hours for, and then you get to the end of the line, it's like, sorry, sold out, because, you know, Deep Pockets over here from collectiblesripoff.com has bought 100 units.
Because he's got an angel investor or some shit, yeah.
Yeah, and the kid behind him with, you know, $50 in his pockets, SOL, because... You know, they allow, we're at least finally starting to get some no more buying 100 units type of stuff going on. But, you know, at the bottom line is this has been so removed from its original purpose for so very long. And unfortunately, we continue to perpetuate it. But, you know, these friends went and encountered this line outside the building on the first day that was reportedly about an hour wait. And to get in the door.
Just to get in the door.
Just to get to the end of this line. And when they inquired about what was this line for, that you have to wait an hour to get to the end of it, they were simply told, oh, it's to get tickets for next year.
Wow. Well,
when I was commenting earlier, I said there's two things that I was there's things that you should do and there's something that you can't do. And what you can't, you shouldn't be able to do is buy tickets for next year.
I like it.
That's a good point.
Because instead of wasting your in the moment time, you would be much better off having all of these potential attendees do the mad online dash.
Right.
See, that was rather my point. Is I was baffled by the concept of spending the first hour of your San Diego Comic-Con experience in line to buy tickets for next year so you could spend your first hour of the San Diego Comic-Con experience in line to buy tickets for the next year.
Right, right. I mean, they've built – they have this down to a science to take your money, to make it as Romanly exclusive as possible, and I, you know, there's never going to be, at least not in the near future, there's never going to be any kind of revolution that changes that for us. So every year we're going to find ourselves sitting where we are now, bitching about what we can't get, and talking about the things that maybe we can find in the aftermarket. As we wrap this up, Catherine, do you have any final thoughts on this year's San Diego Comic-Con that you want to get out there?
No.
No? She's just saying, give me a lion cat. That's what she says. She's
yeah.
Just,
that's
just,
right. That's
just take my idea right. And paint that me a lion cat.
I think things might change. If somebody else comes around and starts their own convention with their own format, which is a lot more attendee friendly, because really the only thing that ever changes, makes things change, is competition.
Right. That's a good point. Absolutely, I believe that, and I think that you're starting to see that a little bit with the Star Wars conventions, the celebration conventions, and things like that. Marvel kind of pulling back a little bit on San Diego. It's starting to get a little more compartmentalized. So I think maybe you're right. I think that the only way this is going to change is if we see another big dog step up and say we're going to do this way and modernize.
And you know who could do it is the studios.
They could. They could.
Well, in fact, Marvel had. This is the first year that, like last year, Marvel had pretty much disappeared from the proceedings almost entirely, if not entirely, because of the connection to Disney, which has their what, like D23 or whatever they call that, or
yes,
right,
DMV or.
Yeah, if actually that's a really cool, you really kind of hit the nail on the head. If now that Marvel and Disney are together, and
well, they have been for years.
No, hear me out now. If they decide to pull a Marvolution on San Diego Comic-Con and take, it's like, okay, we're going to have our own convention and it's all going to be Disney and Marvel exclusives. This is the only place you're going to find it. You're not going to find it at San Diego Comic-Con. Then San Diego Comic-Con is going to have to regroup and revamp in a big way really quick.
That's a valid point.
It is, but unfortunately, they've already done that. Because even before Disney had Lucasfilm, and especially last year when Marvel pretty much pulled out of San Diego and they did all of their big reveals at the Disney thing, there's still the problem of exclusivity, of the sheer volume of people who want to attend even that show, grossly exceeding the capacity of the venue, the volume of people who want to attend any given panel grossly exceeding the legal capacity or even the physical capacity of the venue within the venue, that there's just so many places where what these things represent is beyond what anything can house.
Okay.
The exclusivity continues because, you know, whatever, D23, whatever, it has its licensee exclusives. San Diego has its licensee exclusives. Celebration has its. So if you weren't already pissed off about the Star Wars exclusives at San Diego, then, Celebration comes along, you can be pissed off about those exclusives as well. There's just so much layering of exclusives. And a lot of times, you know, some of the exclusives are great. Some of them have very little value added. For the money it would cost you if you get it there. But I think it's the exclusivity that's going to be the biggest problem regardless. And while the Disney thing does compete in many ways with San Diego, especially when Marvel pulled out pretty much exclusively. There you still have, all of these aspects of those other shows.
Yeah.
Because they're in either instant classics or within a very short order, they become the thing. And the bigger they are, the more the retailers want to have those exclusives they can make a quick buck on. And it's still going to undermine the market. I was looking at one website that I'm not going to help them out at all, but by naming them, but they had a whole page just for 2016 San Diego exclusives. I don't know what the original costs were at San Diego, but this thing just kept loading and loading and loading and loading because there were so damned many.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if this particular website was carrying every single one of them that was available. But it just kept loading and loading, and there were so many things. And I feel sorry for collectors of pop vinyls. It's been rendered impossible for them. I don't care about pop vinyls, but I know they're very popular. And between the convention exclusives and all of the other exclusives, Funko themselves have at least two distinct subscription boxes with exclusive versions of things. Apparently, if you I lost count how many exclusive Funko Pop vinyls there are for San Diego in every genre. So even if you just collect the Street Fighter or Marvel or DC or you want to get the – you name it, every single genre they have, there's exclusives to San Diego for that.
Right.
Yeah.
So your SOL, even if you're not a Universal collector, you know what would be cool is a pop vinyl Doomsday from Superman versus Batman, if that's your thing. Well, guess what? It was exclusive to San Diego Comic Con.
Right.
There's something that I'm curious about, and this is going to take this would take some time and research, so I doubt seriously it'll happen. it'll take a little effort, but I'd kind of like to see. San Diego Comic Con's been going on for quite a while.
Oh yes.
So I'd like to dial up, see what I could find, maybe some 2005, 2006 San Diego Comic Con exclusives to see if they have retained their perceived value, because maybe a couple of years after they were exclusives, they were the thing, but what if now they've lost their shine and pretty much plummeted in value?
Well, that's part and parcel to what Andy was saying about a lot of the what I was saying about how I often tell people, be patient.
Right.
It'll come around.
Right.
Because you'll be able to get it. It's can you wait? And also, can you remember that you wanted it?
That's, Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can. It's easy to become so lost in the 2016 exclusives, and we're bitching about it. Catherine mentions, I'm like, hell, there probably were some things a few years ago I really wanted that Andy and I bitched about that we could probably get for what we would have paid for them at San Diego.
Right.
And they would be happy to get their money back.
Right, exactly. Right. Because they, okay, you know, they gave it up or went away or whatever, and yeah, exactly.
Because they're going, Mary and Joseph's. I flew up there, I bought tickets, I stood in line for 3 hours, and I've got this thing that I can't unload at any price.
That's true.
Well, we have done our bitch points, but before we close, I want to say there are some positives.
All right, here we go. He's going to bring it back around. God damn, yeah. He always does this, where it's like, oh, now we got to be positive. Nah.
So settle down. I want you to settle down. I want you to cool it. Basically, you mentioned Trailer Storm earlier, which is one of the positives, is this brings forth the raw tonnage of trailers. And we are fortunate in this age that we, depending on the disposition of the studios, we get them almost as soon as you did if you were at San Diego.
Right.
And the other place we benefit in this modern age of everything on demand at our fingertips on the internet is, before the show, Andy's like, oh, guess what? Check out the Marvel Legends movie and TV figures.
Yes.
Marvel Legends have been doing a lot of Marvel movie figures for a long time. But for the first time ever in 2016, 2017, we're getting Jessica Jones and the Punisher.
From the
Netflix series, with the likenesses of those actors.
And they look great.
And that is pretty amazing. And, of course, Andy and I were, like, freaking out over an action figure we never thought we'd want, but we absolutely have got to have this one.
Yes.
In the upcoming Marvel Legends line. The Build-A-Figure, I think, is going to be Warlock.
Yeah, we were thinking it's Warlock, yeah.
But they're doing a 6-inch scale original first appearance costume in all her disco glory. Dazzler.
So good. So good. With full her, on.
Yeah, with her little David Bowie butterfly painted mask makeup effect, her big hoop earrings, her Farrah Fawcett hair, her disco ball necklace, for God's sake.
Yes.
Her microphone. She comes with a Mr. Microphone. And, of course, the requisite disco mirror ball high-heeled roller skates.
So good. So good. I never thought.
A figure with roller skates. Can the roller skate Iron Man be far behind?
Well, they've already got the mold now, so all they have to do is print.
Well, can I be positive about something then? If
of
Nicole
course,
gets to me?
I guess. God damn it, sure.
Thank you, Andy. The positive spin, I guess, on this is we wouldn't be looking at the wonderful collection of comic and sci-fi genre films and TVs and series and everything like that if it weren't for conventions.
That's true.
Because pre-internet, that is really the only way that people could, these people who put these things together put on a little convention. They expect, a few hundred people and a few thousand show up. And they finally get to see how what they're creating is being received.
Right, right.
And if it weren't for conventions, I don't think we would have what we have entertainment-wise. So,
fine, I guess that it's a good thing. God.
Yeah, and though a lot of these collectibles are exclusive, but for Comic-Con, would Hasbro have bothered with the Purple Man?
Right, right. Right. Would they have repainted a Sandman in sand color just so that we could have it, have the opportunity to have it? Would they have made a Moon Boy figure?
Moon Boy
figure for us to have. No, I guess you're right. All right, fine. It's not all doom and gloom. It's not all bad, I guess. Just mostly bad. I'm just mostly angry about it.
It just sucks. And I
see that's right. That's the whole point. All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Join us next year for another Bitching Points issue of Hey Kids Comics based around exclusives in San Diego. Say goodnight, guys. You've been champs.
I love you.
Obliged to defend every love, every ending, or maybe there's no obligations now. Maybe I have a reason to believe we all